Today, let's read God's Word, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James translation, the translation that I've prepared my messages at home from. I hope that won't be a deterrent to anyone this evening, but please listen if it's not your translation. Listen carefully to the Word of God as I read it from Luke chapter 24. And this is a post-resurrection scene. Things should be happy, right? Keep that in mind as we begin to read God's Word from verse 13, and then we'll read down through verse 27. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to open your word. And we pray that you would once again, author of scripture, open our understanding to receive good, just as these brothers did years ago. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Well, in thinking of how to bring up an opening point to show something of the passage, my mind was cast upon many things to show the importance of walking. And parents, we know how important it is to tell our children to walk with good friends and to have good companions, and it is so. And there are many illustrations we could have from that. But my mind was cast back to the year that I'm told now, I think was 2010, when a young couple that were involved in this church were wed back in Indiana. And Janice and I, my wife and I, were attending the wedding. And we were there a little early, not knowing the place. We came, we arrived, we got there. And as we came down, we met an older couple. And this older couple was coming in, and the woman was in a wheelchair. And he was pushing her down the aisle, and we came in first, and he slid right beside us, and he looked at us and he said, "Well, how long have you been married?" And this is a wedding, so you expect such questions, right? And sure enough, well, we spoke, and I told him we'd been married about that time, I guess about 30 years or so. And he said, "Well, that's great." He said, "We've been married over 60. This is my wife, Mrs. Blackwood. And I can highly recommend the institution of marriage." I thought, I'm going to keep that. I've got to tell people that. And so I have delighted in telling people that everywhere I go, that this is Dr. Blackwood's greeting to me. I didn't know who he was until later when somebody pointed it out to me that that's who he was. I was walking with this individual. I knew not who he was, and yet he had a good word to say to me at that time. I think that's something like what these fellows must have found in the miniature, how they were walking with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and knew it not until later. And He comes and appears mercifully to them again. And so tonight, as we know for sure that He who walks with wise men Himself will be wise, come, let's walk with Jesus tonight as He opens the Scriptures to us. Well, in our text, in our verse that we start here, in verse 13, we find very clearly that Jesus' disciples seemed to like to travel in company. Now, this may have been a convenient sort of thing. You know, they had been up to the feast in Jerusalem and they're headed back to their home, perhaps, in Emmaus. We don't really know. The text doesn't make that crystal clear. Or it may have just been they found it safer. You know, if you're one of those Christian sort of people, you might have to watch yourself and your back at a time like this when the Roman government is out killing your Savior and Redeemer. Maybe it's time to watch yourself a little bit. So maybe they were walking in company for that reason too. But our text says that the two of them were traveling on that same day. That was the day that Jesus rose from the dead, I understand the text to say. And it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. There was only two of them. One is mentioned by name, and we don't run into him in other places. He's not one of those prominent apostles. He's not one of the names that we read of others who were among the number. But he was one of the two walking that Jesus comes alongside and walks with here. And his name was Cleopas. Cleopas and another disciple. And they were walking along, speaking about the things of the Lord. Now, they were about 7 miles from Jerusalem. If you get your Bible map out sometime and you look to the northwest of Jerusalem, you're going to find where approximately they think Emmaus, the little village, was. And it's a little town, a little hamlet, not much bigger than the place where I don't even live in a village. I live outside the village, 3 miles. And it's a village of about 800 people, a small place on the map, really nowhere. Unless you're from there, then it's really somewhere. But that's perhaps what it would have been like to have been from Emmaus. Just ordinary people going back about their business after going to the feast, talking about the things of God. Doesn't that sound a little bit like you? A little bit like me today? Going about the business of the things of the kingdom. We may seem in the grand scheme of things to be just a drop in the bucket. Well, we know Isaiah the prophet says that even the nations are a drop in the bucket in comparison to the Lord our God. So we should have no problem grasping that illustration. Certainly we are very small. And yet, here's the Lord in the midst, going to this little small town, this village, some 7 miles away. Now, I remember as a young person, there was a certain place I liked to run by. And when I was younger, I could do that. When I'm older, I tend to walk a lot more. Well, even when I was in seminary, I remember where we lived was about 4 miles from the seminary. And if I walked really, really fast, I could be there under an hour. And I felt pretty good. That's stoplights and everything. And so if you walk about 4 miles an hour, and that's a pretty brisk pace, it would take these fellas, what, about an hour and three quarters to get 7 miles distance, if that was the case. And that's what the Scripture says. So if they were walking right on out, that's how long it would take. So there's a time for a good conversation to develop in this time. Keep that in mind. But these brothers, as they were walking along, they were talking about the things of the Lord, the things that had happened. We read here in this place, in verse 13 and 14 again, we read those words. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. So there were some things on their mind that you had to get them off. And Christians do that. And you know, the first thing that I want you to understand about disciples traveling in company, it's something of a gauge of Christian fellowship, isn't it? It's a gauge. You can mark it down. When you like to walk with God's people, it's a gauge of something that says something about you, who you are, your nature. You want to talk about the things of the Lord. It's great to talk about the royals when it's royal time, right? It's great to talk about the cats if they win. But it's nothing in comparison to getting together with a brother, a sister in the Lord, and unburdening your heart about the things of Christ. There's nothing like it. And these men knew something of that. It's a gauge of their Christian fellowship. It's like the Psalm 122. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then he's caught praying for the people of God, praying for the blessing of God upon his people. And I think that we can deduce from that that whenever we have the option, whenever we have the choice, whenever it's left up to our discretion, surely you'd want to go in Christian company, wouldn't you? Surely you'd want to hang out with a brother or the sister and be where God's people meet on a weeknight, especially on the Lord's Day. Beloved, the second thing our text tells us is that when these disciples talk about Jesus, they talk about Jesus when they meet because He is all to them. They had hung everything on what He had come to do. We thought He was the Redeemer of Israel. Now we're confused about this because they put Him to death and now it's the third day and we can't even find His body. We don't know what's happened. Christ was everything to them. They talked about all these things which happened and they talked. The Bible lets us know that speech is a gift. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Mr. Talkative in a minute, but I want you to understand, first of all, speech is a gift from God. He calls in the Scriptures your tongue your glory. It's that instrument by which you can praise God. And in the New Covenant context, there's no greater praise than the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That's what we do in the Church of Jesus Christ. We praise Him because Christ is all to us. And speech is a gift that should be employed for this good. And they talked together of all these things. They talked about the kingdom of God and Christ's crucifixion, about His resurrection, and how in the world this was all going to fit together in their scheme of things that they didn't quite then understand. Well, I learned from this very easily. I think that we find here that we should talk about the best things in life. You know, we only have so many days on this good old earth, don't we? 70-some years, maybe 80, if we're strong, the Bible says. And we know that this is just about the standard of things. And you've multiplied out. You're smart. You've got a calculator. You've got a phone. Multiply 365 times 80 years. And you've got the number of days. And you take a third of that off and you know that you're spending that 8 hours of good sleep every night, which you hope you're getting. And that's really about the working time you've got left in this world. And it is not that much. You look at those hours. It will startle you. So why not talk about the best things? Why not settle your heart upon Christ, His kingdom, His work, His gospel, His resurrection on our behalf? Spend them wisely. Like the Psalm 145, which the psalmist tells us there that they shall talk of all your glory, on your might and greatness dwell. Is that the burden of your heart like the folks on the road to Emmaus? That's what these folks were doing. Now let's not be guilty, as I said before, let's not be guilty of being Mr. Talkative. If you're familiar with John Bunyan's Immortal Pilgrim's Progress from this world to the world which is to come, you know the character, Mr. Talkative. He was a man who could talk all about the things of the kingdom. Why, he could exercise theological knowledge from A to Z. But come to do the work, he was never around. He never knew how to lift a finger for the things of Christ. And so we don't want to be that kind of person who can solve all the problems of church and state before noon and go on with our life the rest of the day. We want to be one of those who's able to employ and discern and taste and know how to use our tongues wisely for the glory of Christ. Like a mother in her home, she's got that all day long with those little precious gifts of God's grace and her care as she cares for them all the day. And she gets up in the morning and she teaches those children the morning prayers. And at the noon, she teaches them. And in between, they've had lessons of how to love and to learn how to trust in the Lord as she finds out that her washing machine is broken down and she needs to call a repairman. But wait, she can't because the checkbook doesn't say we have the money to do all that just right now. And so she has to trust God. And she's teaching with her talk. She's showing those little ones how to love the Lord, how His kingdom works, how to trust in Christ. And she does so in the afternoon. And then Dad comes home from the work, from the job. And he pitches right in and he shows how that work is done in the home. And the kingdom goes on and it's pressed. Those little ones are pressed into the kingdom through the example and through the preaching of Christ in such ways. They talk about Jesus and it's all to them. Just like these brothers did in this place. But again, there's a third thing I want to speak to from this text about Jesus. When you, as disciples, talk about Jesus and His kingdom, He doesn't just stand over there on Pluto somewhere. What does our text say that He does in this case? We look in verse 15. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near. He approached them, some of your translations will say. He noticed that they were conversing and talking and thinking about Him. And so He draws near to them. And He went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. Now there's some curious thoughts about this. Their eyes being restrained. You can surely say that God Almighty can cause the eyes of some, just like that dumb donkey. It wasn't the donkey that was dumb. It was Balaam that was dumb, wasn't it? It was just the other way around. But the donkey that doesn't usually talk, so was dumb in that sense. And Balaam, on the other hand, who was being kind of donkey-headed in that. Think about it. God draws near to speak with these disciples. He speaks in this way to His people when they speak of Jesus together. They walk and they talk. Jesus came near and He went with them. Now, He could have supernaturally held their eyes, or He could have simply been wearing on a cold, windy day and early in the spring. He could have been having His clothes up over His face, and so they didn't know Him. We don't know exactly the case, and that's really not the point. The point is, they didn't get it. They knew because they had seen Messiah killed. They had known that He was put in the grave from their own disciples. They had heard that His body had had the spices of anointment and the wrappings and the woundings. And so the last thing they expect is to be talking to a living, breathing Jesus Christ. But here He is. Here He is. Either way, whether it was a supernatural act of God or whether Jesus in this way just comes upon some disciples who just were being a little thick-headed like old Balaam was back in his day. But you know, today, when we converse in a holy manner, does Jesus draw near? Is Jesus pleased to draw near your holy conversations? We believe very strongly in the New Covenant. We understand the Scriptures teach that when the people of God meet, that Jesus is here. He's walking among us. He's singing praises with us. He's leading us, as it were, in worship. There's always at least two sermons preached whenever the Word is broken open. One is the Lord speaking through His Spirit. And the other one is the audibleness of me speaking. Jesus is present. We know that. But what about when you're just walking from Emmaus, from Jerusalem to Emmaus? Is Jesus drawing near? Well, let's ask. Let's back up. Are we having that holy conversation? Are we with the Lord's people? Are we using the means of grace that God has given and entrusted to us? Then why wouldn't we expect to find Jesus walking with us? Longing for more of His presence in our lives, as I know we do. We long to see the work of Christ in our families and in our lives of our precious ones, our little ones, our neighbors, our friends. We long for that. Well, it seems to me that if we follow the example of these disciples and meet with other disciples and Jesus is pleased to draw near, your spiritual life is about to grow. He's about to teach you something through the means that He's ordained to use. And so, if you long for that close fellowship, put yourself in the proximity where you're going to grow. Don't put yourself outside the light. Put yourself under the light and grow in Christ.